morning, beloved. I know we haven't seen each other for a few weeks, so I know it's nice to walk around and visit. As I said earlier, last time we were here, we're going to spend the next few weeks, probably up until Easter, going to be talking about things that Jesus said. Of course, things that he did. Today, I want to talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000 men. Some estimate there were as many as 15,000 people there because the Jews just numbered the men, in their head count. And it's remarkable whether it was 5,000 or 20,000. I've entitled this, "It's Always Enough." And the text is out of Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them to me.' Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Father, I thank you that your word never comes back to you empty, but it will always accomplish what you intend for it to do. I thank you that your word is truth. And Father, I ask as we gather here this morning that you anoint your servant to speak the truth through your Holy Spirit whom you've given to us. I thank you that you are in control of all things. Lord, help us to get from your word the things that we need, the things we need now, and the things we may need later. I ask your blessing on every person here today, in Jesus' name, amen. When you read the 4 gospel accounts, some people will say, that's why I think the Bible has mistakes, because one writer says one thing, one says another, and that's simple to clear up. I learned when I was on the truck that we would pull up on an ambulance and there was usually 1 to 5 people would run up and say, "I saw it all." And they'd start telling you what they saw, and it was a little different version. And I found out that, you know, if they all had the same story, there's collaboration going on. And I want to mention the other Gospels give a little different slant. Let's come up to speed here, so to speak. Jesus had sent the 12 out to preach. Said he gave them power over demons and sickness, told them to raise the dead, to heal the sick, and preach the good news. And they've been out here doing this. In the meantime, John the Baptist was thrown into prison by Herod, and on his birthday, his stepdaughter danced for him and pleased him. Historians say that he kind of had a thing for her. Now, that's just their surmising. But evidently, he thought quite a bit of the young lady. It said she danced and it pleased him. And he, on oath, said, "Ask me whatever you want up to the half of my kingdom and I'll give it to you." She said, "Of course, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And it said Herod was sorry, but because of his promise and his guest, the king couldn't back out on his word. He had John beheaded, And his disciples came and buried his body. And one of the Gospels says, when Jesus heard this. That's what Matthew said. When Jesus heard this. So what was his response? He wanted to go be alone. That's understandable. Now the other Gospels share with this that about this time the 12 came back and they're just elated. They said, Lord, even the demons were subject to us. And it said so many people were going in and out, they couldn't even eat. And Jesus said to the 12, let's go to a desert place for a while so you can rest. You know, in prayer is where we rest. And I still believe to this day that there are times that the Lord Jesus will say to his people, come with me to a quiet place. One-on-one. Oh, praise God. I can get one-on-one with my Savior. So can you. So the writers are saying that the apostles come back. Jesus has received news of John the Baptist's death. People are coming in and out. They said they couldn't even eat. I could see them start to pick up a sandwich and somebody would come in and they'd lay their sandwich down. I got a question for you. Or, Lord, I got this disease. Could you heal me? And Jesus finally looks at his men. He says, guys, we need to get alone for a while. And he said they got in the boat and they headed out. Now, one of the Gospels says that he ended up in Bethsaida. It's on the shore of the lake there. But the people saw him leave, and it said they ran and got there ahead of him. I don't know if somebody overheard the conversation. A lot of the sailing they did was close to the shore. And maybe they just followed the boat. But it said they got there just before Jesus. And when he got out of the boat, he was moved with compassion. One of the Gospels says he looked at the people and said they were like sheep without a shepherd. Another one of the Gospels says he taught them and healed them. And let me stop right here and ask a question. This isn't rhetorical. I want you to answer me. What's the purpose of the church? Win the lost, to minister. Let me be a little more pointed. What's the purpose of Mansfield Christian Church? Why are we here in Mansfield? Why did God allow this church to be planted in this town? Huh? To spread the word? Okay. To glorify God? You bet. Good answers. To be the hands and feet of Jesus. Which means what? To serve. Amen. Thank you. It's all about His glory, not ours. We're not here to glorify ourselves. I'm sure the 12, I'm just, you know, supposing, when they got out of the boat, I'm sure they went, oh, man. Can't they leave us alone? You know, if Jesus wasn't Jesus, he may have even said to that crowd, look, I just lost a family member. I've been preaching to you for weeks. I've been healing you. Can't you let me alone one day? Now, I've heard some preachers say the church began on the day of Pentecost. No, it didn't. The church began with Jesus and the 12. I asked, what's the purpose of the church? Jesus taught them. Very often by field trips. Hey, guys, let's go to Caesarea Philippi. Man, they're wicked over there. Well, let's go. That's the kind of people I came to save. Hey, let's go to Gadara. Lord, those people are pagans. I know, let's go. They're the people I came to save. Let's go. And the church said,
with the girl. Well, let's go die with him. Thomas said that. You know, Jesus was getting ready to go to Judea after he told him he was going to die. And he said, let's go to Judea. And they said, Lord, they were going to stone you and you want to go? He goes, yeah. Why not? Let's go. And Thomas said, oh, let's go die with him. Jesus wasn't calling his church to die. A dead church is an inoperative church. There's no glory, no power, no use. Now, let me ask you another pointed question. What is this church doing? Not just the preacher. Well, we pay you to do that. Amen. I know I got one or two in here that's trying to make disciples. What's the church doing? What are you doing? Don't answer that out loud. Okay? What? Ask yourself, what am I doing that affects the city of Mansfield where I live and the people in it? What effect have I had on this community? Well, now, brother, I think that's a little personal. You mean you're ineffective then? Oh, I wouldn't say that, but Jesus would. You remember what he said? If you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not gathering in, you're scattering. Well, wait, Jesus, where's the gray area? There ain't any. Nope. Now, this is Jesus' church. Okay, bear with me a minute. He takes him to a desert place to be alone. I imagine they would have built a campfire and sat around, and Jesus would have said, well, Peter, how'd it go when you was out preaching? Oh, man, Lord, let me tell you what happened. Man, I was casting demons out of people. It was so cool. Well, Philip, how'd you do? Oh, man, Lord, we had revival in one area, you know. And this is what the church wanted. They wanted to go spend time with the Lord. Let's sit in our huddle. Our holy huddle. Yeah. We still do that in the church today. You know that? We got our holy huddle. It's generally on Sunday morning, you know. We sit here. We come to worship. I ask you, why are we here? Well, we're here to save the lost. You bet. You're right. We're here to win the lost. We're here to make disciples. And it said Jesus taught the multitudes. He had compassion. That's Jesus. Do you know that? Do you know he still has a heart for the lost? Do you know his heart still hurts for the lost? I believe he still weeps. And it said he was moved with compassion, not religion, not with, well, I have to do this. They're here. I have to do something with them. It said he had compassion on them. What did he do first? He taught them. Sit down and taught them. You guys want answers? I'm the answer guy. And it says, towards the evening, his church came to him and they said, Lord, it's getting late. Send these people into the villages so they can buy some food and eat. What was the church saying? We want them to leave. And that'd be a good excuse. You know, we wouldn't be doing anything wrong if we just said, hey, we're going to have to cut this off for now. And we've really enjoyed with, you know, being with you. Here's one of our visitor packages. You know, we hope you'll come back, but we'd really like you to leave. But that, they didn't do it that way. They said, Lord, send them away. And Jesus goes, why? Oh, man. Come on, Lord, they need to eat. Jesus goes, I agree with you. You give them something to eat. Huh. Now, wait a minute. It said that the disciples said, do you want us to go out and spend 200 denarii on bread for these people? A denarii was a day's wage. So they said, in essence, do you want us to go out and spend almost a year's wages? You know what that tells me? They may have had that in the treasury. We don't know Judas carried the bag, so I'm adding the treasury report was different from week to week. Jesus said, how are we doing, treasurer? Oh, not too good this week, Lord. And what do you think of my new camel? Jesus said, "You feed them." Lord, we don't have anything to feed them. One of the Gospels says, they said, "We have here 5 loaves and 2 fish. And in the Jesus of Nazareth movies, these are loaves the size of a Frisbee, and the fish are like big old lineside bass. Yeah. And Jesus sits there and goes, like that. All of a sudden the baskets fill up, and the people are holding up these great big old fish and these loaves of bread. And that's not what happened. These loaves are small. In fact, one of the Gospels point out it was a kid's lunch. Andrew said, there is a kid here who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. These fish were about the size of our sardines. Bethsaida, one of their main commerce was salted fish. They would catch these little sardines, lay them out on rocks, salt them down and sun dry them, and people ate them. So, in essence, they said, Lord, we got here 5 slices of bread and 2 sardines. That's what it amounted to. What is that among so many? They felt pretty good about themselves about that time. Lord, now let's be realistic. This is all we have. See? That's not even enough to feed us. And it's not ours anyway. It belongs to this kid. What did Jesus say? Bring it here to me. You care if the Lord has your lunch? No. Kid said, no. I'll share my lunch with Jesus. You know? They speculate that this little boy came from a poor home because it was 5 barley loaves. So what the Greeks said, that was poor man's flour. And 2 sardines. I got a pack of sardines at home. I like them. Yeah, I know. People are going, oh. I opened a can of them in jail one time with 6 other inmates. Don't do that. Yeah. Judy brought me some sardines. I went, crack. What in the world's that? And they go into holler. What are you doing? Shut up. I'm eating my sardines. I got a fork and I will use it. But they say to the Lord, what are you going to do with this? They're asking the Lord, what are you going to do? He gave them power to cast out demons, raise the dead, and preach the good news. And they look at him and say, now what can you do with this? You know what they're saying? Not even you can feed this many people out of this little sack lunch. So the Lord said, make the people sit down in companies. It said there was a lot of grass there, so they sat down in companies of 50 each. Why did Jesus tell them to sit down? Because he's going to feed them. He says, y'all get comfortable. And I can see that disciples are going, oh my gosh, this is going to be so embarrassing. And said he looked up and he blessed the loaves. The Jews have a beautiful prayer. It says something like, oh God, King of kings and God of the earth, we thank you that you from the earth provide food for us. They said that would have been along the lines of what Jesus said. God, the Father, you providing us food. Jesus is thanking him for 5 loaves of bread and 2 sardines. And God's looking out over them crowds, and Jesus said, we need to feed these people. And God said, all right, son. And there was something I caught this week I hadn't thought much about before. Jesus broke the loaves, and what did he do with them? Huh? He handed it to the disciples. Why didn't he line them up? Why did he say, guys, line up? Because there would have been a big old fight. Some of them people only ate once a day. Some of them ate every couple of days. So Jesus is going to keep order out of this. And he goes, you guys sit down. Yes, you're going to get something to eat. Sit down. But it said, Jesus said to his church, give me what you have. Now, do you agree that he could have took 1 sardine and 1 loaf of bread and fed those people? Amen. No problem. We'll sit here today and say, not a problem. How come he didn't do that? And say, I tell you what, son, you give me one loaf of bread and one of your fish, and that'll still leave you with four loaves of bread and a sardine. You can have a sardine sandwich with three pieces of bread for dessert. Why did he ask for all? Huh? That required faith. The righteous shall live because of their faith. He's preached the word to these people. He's healed their sick. And now he's going to meet their physical needs. And he says, church, I want you to meet the physical needs of all these people. That's impossible. All we got is five loaves and two fish. Jesus wanted it all. Okay? That took faith. Give me every scrap of food we have, and I'm going to feed these people. Now, if I was there, I'd have probably said, what about us? You know, God, that was part of my lunch. How often have you prayed, Lord, I know you want me to be doing something for you, but come on. Moses said, I'm not eloquent of speech. Pharaoh won't listen to me. God said, yes, he will. I gave you your tongue. I'm not a good speaker. I'll speak to you, and then you tell Pharaoh, oh, Lord, could you just find somebody else? And it said God's anger was kindled at Moses. In the old King James, that's not good. When his anger is kindled, it means it's smoldering. I think God was thinking, boy, I brought you in, and I can take you out. This is what I want you to do, and you're going to do it. And Moses finally said, well, all right. Church, I asked you, why is Mansfield Christian Church in this town? Why is it here? Well, first of all, for God's people to come and worship and be refreshed, be recharged. The Bible says that God put some first apostles, then pastors. He put them in here to teach God's people, to equip them for good works that God has prepared in advance for them. Did you know that, church, that God's got stuff he wants you to do? And it's just you that can do it. He hasn't called anybody else to it. It took me a while when I first started preaching to realize God did not call me for my impersonation of Billy Graham. Because young preachers, we usually try to fashion ourselves after somebody we really like. You know, that's effective. Jesus said, let me have it all. It ain't much. That's not good English, but it ain't, man, it ain't nothing. They're looking at this little thing saying, it's not anything. He said, give it to me. Now, what happened once they handed it to Jesus? It's out of their hands. They have no control. They're standing there looking at the Lord. Now what? And he looks up to heaven and he says, I thank you, O Father, King of heaven, who created the earth, and you feed us from the earth. And I ask you to bless these loaves. Then he broke the loaves and gave them back to his church. And he said, church, take these loaves and sardines. I'll keep handing them to you. You keep handing them to them. You know what the outcome was? It said they all ate till they were satisfied. With Jesus, it's always enough. Yeah. I asked you a very pointed question. I've seen people looking at the floor. Some of you look like you didn't care for the question. I don't care. I'm not here to win friends and make influence people. I'm here to exhort the word of the Lord.
And I'm not trying to be mean. Not at all. I don't judge anyone in here. That's between you and the Lord. But what are you doing? Individually, what are you doing for Jesus Christ? You know what I like in the book of Acts about the church? As the Holy Spirit was poured out and they began to grow, these guys in Corinth brought two Christians before the judge, and they said, "These people have turned the world upside down." I wonder if the church could be accused of that today. New York State signed a law, and they can now kill a baby right after it's delivered. Vermont and Illinois have the same bills in their senates, and they don't look for any opposition. And I saw a Christian leader on TV the other day, and she said, "Why are we sitting on our hands?" I read somewhere that when the Supreme Court tried the Roe versus Wade, the justices noted that not one voice of opposition was there. And they were surprised. They thought at least some of the church leaders would be there to argue in defense for those unborn. And you know, we've become so calloused. I'm including me. We don't think about abortion. Well, there ain't nothing we can do. We act like God condones it. And I've even had Christians tell me, "Well, I believe a woman has a right to do with her body what she wants." Amen. But you ain't got a right to do with that baby's body whatever you want. Yeah. I mean, what if I took a baby and drowned it in a bathtub? I'm going to prison. And then I'll die in prison because them old boys don't like people that hurt kids. But a surgeon can deliver a full term, kill him. I heard one guy say, "Well, they need to be shot." Well, first they need to have a trial. Then they need to be shot. Murder is murder is murder. You read the Word of God, He condemns Israel for the shedding of innocent blood. In fact, He said, "I won't hold you guiltless for that." And that leader asked for Saturday, all Christians who will, to wear black, to fast, and to weep before God over these court decisions. When I was watching it, there was some transvestite men, heavy makeup, all dolled up, and they were applauding. And the reporter said there was a big celebration when the mayor signed that proclamation. And the church sits there and watches that and says, "Well, what can we do?" I'm going to tell you what you can do. Open your home to one of them young ladies. "Oh, we're set in our ways and we're retired and we really don't want to, you know, put up with that." Why? Judy and I took in two teenage unwed mothers at two different times. You know what? Now they're married and have a family. They married the boys that got them pregnant. I'm not saying it always works out that way. But the one told me, "You gave me a choice." 17 years old and pregnant and didn't know what she's going to do. Her dad kicked her out of the house, called her some very nasty names. He was a Baptist minister. No, I'm not picking on the Baptist. But this messed with his ministry too. What are the deacons going to think? My girl getting pregnant. "Well, brother, you know, it's kind of hard taking people into your house." It sure is. It upsets your whole itinerary. But I'm going to tell you something else. It sure gives you a chance to minister in the name of Jesus Christ and to tell that young lady you and that baby are precious. Yeah.
How has Mansfield Christian Church affected this community? I'm going to tell you something. And this isn't meanness. I'm just telling you honestly. We don't have the best reputation in town. This church doesn't. Now, I know that the ungodly are going to say things about us no matter what we're doing, but there's some legitimate gripes out there. I'm going to close with Matthew chapter 25. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns with all the holy angels, He will gather the nations before Him, and He will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, and He will say, come, you blessed of My Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Because I was hungry, You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, You gave me something to drink. I was naked, and You clothed me. I was a stranger, You took me in. I was sick, and I was in prison, and You ministered to me. He said, the righteous will say, Lord, when did we ever see You hungry, or thirsty, or naked, or a stranger, or sick, or in prison? Jesus in prison? You know, when did we ever see You in prison? Jesus said, when You did it to the least one of these, My brothers, He's pointing at the sheep, You did it to me. Then He shall look at the goats. I want to clarify something to you. And this is my opinion. You can take it or leave it. The goats are the ones that thought they were sheep. Yeah, they thought they were sheep. And He'll look at them and say, depart from Me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't believe a loving God would send anyone to hell. A loving God created hell for Satan and the fallen angels. We're the ones that opened the door. He's done everything He can to keep us out. For I was hungry, You didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty, You wouldn't give me a drink. I was naked, You wouldn't clothe me. I was sick, and You didn't minister to me. Well, Lord, we'd have sent You a card. I mean, come on. I was in prison, and You didn't come and see me. And it said, they will say, Lord, when did we see You hungry or thirsty or naked or a stranger? Or sick or in prison, when did that happen and when did we refuse to help You? And He said, He'll point to the one, the goats. And He says, when you refuse to do it to one of these. You didn't call them brothers, did He? You didn't do it to Me. Church, we have no excuse on God's green earth not to minister to the unlovely. One of the biggest fears I hear, and I'm talking about on the Alliance, we're sick and tired of people taking advantage of us. Well, wait a minute. How do I give to God? If you're giving like this, that's the wrong way. You know how you give to God? So who are they cheating? God. Yeah. Well, we'll go broke. Well, let's go out doing something. I'd rather this church fold up and die because we overspent and just tried too hard to minister to people and God stopped the finances, which I don't think He would, but the finances are stopped. What was the difference between the sheep and the goats? What they did and didn't do. Yeah. We have the Christian Church, the Free Will Baptist, the Southern Baptist, the Nazarene, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, Harvest Church, which is a Pentecostal church. And I guarantee you that all the pastors of these churches will answer to God for how they ran the church. And by run, I mean oversee the church. We'll give an account for you. You'll give an account.
for everybody you come in contact with, that you can do something and don't.
I thought this was going to be a happy message, man.
It is. Do you see, church, the allegory here is that Jesus sees the needs of the people that we see every day, and he says, do something. You know, the world's sick and tired of hearing about Jesus. They can't stand Bible thumpers. Jesus this and Jesus that. They want to see him. I also saw the other day on the news that there are a large amount of Muslims in the Middle East coming to Christ because of ISIS and the Shiite Muslims, the violent ones. And they're saying, there's got to be more to God than this. And the Christians, at the risk of their own lives, are ministering to these people and saying, there is something better. His name is Jesus Christ. And they can be shot for that. Now, this message is not meant to browbeat any one of you. I'm in the same boat with you. And someday I'll stand before the throne of Jesus Christ and he's going to say, Rick, what'd you do with what I gave you? I plan on being the guy that says, Lord, you gave me 5 talents and I gained 5 more. When I die, I want to die working for my Lord. Yeah. That's my prayer. Just about every day, I say, Lord, let me finish the race well. Yes? Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't disagree with that at all. But who's going to make phone calls? That's a good start. Yep. I'm not saying it, Joe. The Holy Spirit's saying it. Shh, careful. You're getting close to blasphemy, brother. I'm not trying to judge any of you. I am saying this is what the Spirit of God has shown me in this scripture. Paul said we need to learn from the examples that God's left. And this is an example of our Lord saying, I want to feed them. And did he need any of the disciples to do this? No. He could have turned rocks into bread. But he said, church, I'm going to work through you. Somebody said it earlier, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Okay. Am I abrasive? Yeah, I know I am. I get fired up about this stuff. But you should get it when I get it. Questions I've asked you today, I've asked myself all week. I've been praying about it. God, I asked God, am I making a difference in this church? Is it time for me to leave and let somebody else come in? Some of you would say, yeah. We've been wanting that for a while. Well, God told me no. So deal with it. You can vote me out. The elders can vote me out. I've told the elders, if you feel I've reached a place of being inefficient in the gospel, you got to give me a 30-day notice. That's what the bylaws say. I'll leave without a fight.
But I'm trying to stir you up to do something, church. In the name of Jesus Christ, do something. If you can give money to these pregnancy ministries, do it. But don't quit giving to the local church. I see too many Christians take their tithes and send them to John Hagee. My question is John Hagee going to come and see you in the hospital? Is he going to sit and hold your hand when somebody in your family's died? No. Bring your tithe into the storehouse. If everybody in here would tithe, we would not be in the position we're in now. We're about broke, church. I don't preach on giving. I don't like it. But God's not going to let you get into heaven because the Pregnancy Resource Center is buying diapers for somebody. Here's what we need to do. Give them our money, offerings, besides the tithes that belong here, and say, if you got some young lady that needs a place to stay, no more. If you got some young lady that needs a place to stay, I got an extra room at the house. I'm not talking about works of righteousness showing off. Where's the church at today? What is this church doing? Nothing. What has it done for 40 years? Nothing. I've been told we just want a small, comfortable family church. Well, if you want that, you don't want me here. Because I'm going to make you uncomfortable. Yeah. And nobody here is my enemies. My enemies are the spirits and principalities in the high places. The prince of the power of the air, Satan. But you know what's really sad is he can use Christians to bite and snip at other Christians. Yeah. What's Jesus saying this morning? Church, I want to do this in your community. Lord, we don't know how. This is all we have. Give it to me. Yeah, give it to me. But be ready, because when we do, he's going to start handing it back to us. And he's going to say, now go serve. Go do what I'm calling you to do. Why are we here? You asked that 3 or 4 times. I'm getting tired of that. I'm going to keep asking that. I'm going to keep in your face about it. Why are we here? Somebody said to make disciples. Yeah, that happens when they come to Christ, but what about bringing them to Christ? Who have you witnessed to last week? How many in here can raise their hand and say, I actually shared Jesus Christ last week. I shared some of my testimony. Okay, one person. That's wrong. Are you ashamed of him, church? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you. You'll go on the left side. Man! Say, no, you're not a sheep, you're a goat. There was a cancer in this church for years. And every time new life sprang up, every time it got energized, that cancer killed it. Cancer's gone, church. Praise God. We need to start afresh and anew. We need to live above the reputation this church has in this town. You don't have to go stand on the square and preach. John said, let the one who has two coats share with somebody who doesn't have one. There should not be a child in this town that's going hungry or that doesn't have shoes or clothes to wear. You know why we got socialist services now? Food stamps and aid for dependent children? Because the churches in America quit taking care of these people. I'm not responsible for the folks in Springfield. I ain't responsible for the people in Mountain Grove. I'm responsible for right here. That's how the church used to do it. Guess what? You don't know who the hungry are, and you don't know anything unless you get out there among them. We want to sit here and bring them in. Majority of them ain't coming. They're not. They're scared. Some of them have been hurt by the church. Like I said, it's time to quit talking, church. Let's walk the walk. I'm willing to use part of my income. I pay my tithe every week. I'm not bragging on me. But I'm willing to give some of that that's not my tithe some way to help someone. The church has gotten the shape she's in today because gutless men stand before them and don't preach the truth. Spineless men who care about a paycheck. I don't care about my check. I do. I got bills to pay. But I'm not a paycheck preacher. And if God folds this place down, He'll open the door for me somewhere else. I believe that with all my heart. But I don't think He wants to close this place down. It's here for a reason. It's been here 50 years. I hope it, within the next 50 we can actually accomplish something. Amen. It's not just here. Go to the men's fellowships. They're all gray hairs. They can't understand why the church is being ineffective because they refuse to change. Well, this is the way we did it in 1958, by golly, and it works, and we're not going to do anything else. Then you're going to die. Yeah. You're going to die. I went long. I'm sorry. I told myself I was going to quit at a quarter till. I'm very passionate about this. And I don't know if you believe me or not, and I really don't care, but I don't judge any of you. I'm not qualified to judge the Lord's servants. I am qualified to rebuke. I'm qualified to warn, to encourage. I want to encourage. Here's the plus side of this message. With Jesus, it's always enough. I got that from Corrie Ten Boom. Her and her sister used to teach a class of mentally disabled children. And she said she was reading the story of the 5,000, and a boy named Michael clapped his hands and said, "It's enough! It's enough! With Jesus, it's enough!" And she said, "Yes, Michael, with Jesus." Would you stand with me this morning? I believe Brother Larry has our closing prayer. I forgot to mention Esther fell and broke her ankle also. As we sing our song of invitation, my prayer is that you will let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. I assure you this was not a bash sermon. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just saying, Christians, we're here for a purpose, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And He ain't just called the nice people. He's called the unnice people, the unlovely people. And that's why the church doesn't minister in His name, because they make us uncomfortable. So ask the Lord this morning, am I doing what you want me to do? And be open to what He has to say to you. As we sing, "Have Your Own Way."
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
care of your heart.
Have thine own way.
Not half my heart, not three-quarters of my heart, but all my heart I give to you.
Absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only.
Father God, as we are inspired this morning to examine our lives, we ask you to inspire us also to seek your will, not just to be hearers of your word, but doers also. Be with each person here as they search their hearts to know if they're doing enough or not. Thank you for this message. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and your inspired word. We ask you to also continue to bless the requests, those sick and afflicted, those in need, and whatever it is, may we, as Christians, do your will and be able to help them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Lift up your banner, let the anthems ring. Praises to our King. Great and